Father, we love you, Lord, this morning. We thank you. We praise your name. We give you glory and honor. To God be the glory. Your word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. Let it be settled, Lord, in our hearts, even on today. To God be the glory, in Jesus' name. Now, as always, Lord, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And we receive that light today. We receive that understanding also. We declare that our minds are clear. Our minds are free of distraction. Our minds are open to hear the word of the Lord. We declare that our hearts are good ground. That the word of God will fall into and give us understanding. God be the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, today's message, titled Frustrating Tokens of Liars. Didn't have the space to put all the full title there. Frustrating Tokens of Liars, Void Where Prohibited by God's Law. Void Where Prohibited by God's Law and Frustrating the Tokens of the Liars. I want to talk about those two things. As a reminder, touched on this before in the past. You know, a few key scriptures. Now, I'll tell you what this is all about. A few key scriptures here, at least about frustrating tokens of the liars. That's found in Isaiah 44, verse 25. But I want to read a couple of verses. Starting at Isaiah 44, King James, we're going to start at verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. Hallelujah. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, and that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Now, when God is about to do something beyond the comprehension of the people, he might introduce some of his attributes already to help people to grasp what he's about to do or what he's about to say. I am the Lord that maketh all things, he said. You know, and that's not, I am the Lord that made all things. No, I am the Lord that maketh all things. That's present continuous. Because the Lord is still making stuff. I am the Lord that maketh all things. I stretch forth the heavens alone, stretch abroad the earth by myself. What does that mean? It means I didn't need any help then, and I don't need any help now. I can do all these things by myself, and none can withhold my hand. That's what it means. Furthermore, he says that frustrated the tokens of the liars and make it diviners mad. Huh? Turn it wise men backward, make it their knowledge foolish. And then also confirming the word of his servant, performing the counsel of his messengers. To God be the glory. Saying to Jerusalem and to walking with God, thou shalt be established, shall be built up, I will raise up the decayed places. Everything that is broken, the breach, I will repair it, saith the Lord. Let's talk about the tokens of liars. What might they mean? You know? Now, and then, that's one part of it. The Lord said, I will frustrate it though. You know, and then he also talks about, then I put a subtitle there is void. We're prohibited by God's law. I want to talk about that for that second part first. You know, void where prohibited by law, not necessarily God's law, is a phrase that's used, you know, on legal documents and different things. You know, sometimes, you know, when companies or institutions make some offers to indemnify themselves or make sure that, because they may not know the law that applies, you know, for instance, in the United States, you know, there's not one law that fits all sizes in every state. Some states have different, it may be the same law, but they may have different variations and different provisions of that law. You know, so sometimes you say, well, you know, just to make sure that they're on the safe side, you'll say, well, this thing that we are stipulating here, it's kind of like a disclaimer. This thing that we are stating here or stipulating here, well, you know, if there is any existing or even future law that contradicts it, well, then it's void. And even there are some statutes, for instance, here in Arizona, Arizona revised statutes, they have some statutes, you know, and every contract, there's certain states, when you go, when you take out a contract between two parties, I mean, you can sign and, you know, sign anything. Usually they say that, well, contract is binding. Some states say that even a handshake contract is binding. Even an oral contract is binding. There are some states that say that. Well, some states say, well, you got to put it in writing. Yet some other states also say that whatever contract you sign is void, you know, if it is prohibited by law. So you can't just say the contract is binding when the law of the land prohibits that thing. You know, so first of all, the law of the land takes precedence over any contract that you may sign. Even though, normally speaking, the contract would have been binding upon the parties that entered into that contract. Well, however, if that contract or the terms or language of that contract were to violate any existing state laws or laws of the land or whatever, then even though you signed the contract and everything, it is deemed null and void. But there is a superior law or a higher law that's contrary to that thing. So let's think about that for a minute. Let's just sink in and see what that might mean. And we're going to talk about the spiritual application of that. You know, you sign a contract, but the Lord says it is void. You know, if it's contrary to God's word, the law also says the contracts that people sign, they are void if they are contrary to the laws of the land. And I will give you, I'll tell you a story or something in a minute or in a bit. But let's take a look at tokens of liars in this regard. You know, the tokens of liars. You know, I can tell you that in dark regions, there are tokens. Some people don't know about these things, but I guarantee you there are tokens. People can take someone's DNA, anything that has their DNA on it, and try to use it, you know, for sorcery and different things and so forth. I mean, these are things that are tokens, you know, that they put together, you know, and, many people live in fear in some of those places. Like when I was growing up, my home country, Nigeria, you know, people were under bondage, the fear of these things. And, you know, they used to tell us, that, you know, yeah, we'll be aware of these things. And some people may create tokens and sorcery and different things, and they'll put them out there on the street. And whosoever is the first person that passes by that thing, whatever spell they have put into that thing will fall on that person. You know, and that person might run mental or be crazy, you know. And in the dark regions, they tell you that, well, the way that you're going to get rid of, you know, so perhaps some family member has a mental issue. You know, in order for you to get rid of that mental issue, you've got to transfer all that problem to somebody else. So you create this thing, you put it out there, and then whoever first passes by that stuff, the thing will jump on them, and then your family member will be free. That's all nonsense. I passed by many of those things when I was a young boy. Sometimes I even kicked the thing. You know, that nothing happened to me at all. you know. Now, I didn't even know anything that I knew that I know now. But, you know, somehow I was just bold. I didn't fear anything. But now that I know even better, I understand much more. In my earlier years in the ministry and things like that, I've been to places where they say, you can't go to that place. You can't come near that tree. It's got tokens around it. I've been to a place, a village, to preach the gospel. And there was a particular tree or whatever. Nobody dared go near that tree. You go there, you either be paralyzed, stricken down, dead, or something will happen. But, you know, I stood under that tree, preached the gospel, brought people to Christ and everything. You know, but these tokens create fear. You know, they create fear. You say, well, you can't do that. And it might actually work for those that don't have a higher power covering them. Praise the Lord. You know, so, you know, people may be put into fear. And these tokens are used to bring sorcery and different things. There's also tokens that are used to bring fear. Now, fear is a great instrument of the devil. Put us into bondage. In fact, some people were told in Hebrews chapter 2, like around verse 14, that, you know, just because of the fear of death, you know, some people are afraid of death like that. Because of the fear of death, you know, verses 14 and 15 of Hebrews 2 tells us that Jesus took on flesh and blood, just like all the other, his children are flesh and blood, so that he might, through his death, destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, two things that jump out to us in these scriptures. Number one, Jesus through his death, we're told that he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Well, did Jesus accomplish that? You have to try to answer that for yourself. Because in John chapter 19 and verse 30, on the cross, as he was dying, Jesus said, it is finished. Well, what is finished? If part of his purpose, he said that through his death he might destroy. Well, if part of that was for him to destroy him that had power over death, and he said it is finished, then it is finished. But you see, devil will prey on fear and lack of knowledge, lack of understanding. My people perish for lack of knowledge and lack of understanding. When we don't know what God has already given us, then, you know, we find out that there are many things that the devil will rob us of, pull wool over our head. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, lack of knowledge. But there's even a stronger lesson in that same verse. It said, because thou hast rejected knowledge. So, the stronger warning here is that there is opportunity for people to learn these things, but they don't want to learn. They reject the knowledge. And there are some people that are willingly ignorant. There are some people also that are just ignorant. But, you know, when the Lord has provided the opportunity for us to know these things or to learn these things and we choose not to learn them, then the Bible says, because you rejected knowledge, I also will reject thee. There shall be no priest unto me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy Lord. So the law of thy God is knowledge. You know, and if you reject that, the Lord said, I will also reject. And I will also forget thy children. Now, that's a serious stuff, you know, because this is the law that you should have passed on to your children. It's the knowledge of the holy in the law of the Lord is passed on to your children. But if you don't, and you don't pass it on, then they are going to be in trouble as well. So people will suffer when they don't know the truth. When you know the truth, though, Jesus said in John 8 and 32, when you know the truth, you see, that's what Jesus said. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You can read that as, you know, the truth that you know is what can make you free. Because if you don't know that truth, you will still be in bondage. You know, it's like, you know, many people not knowing what they have. I mean, if someone, you know, has been in prison for so long, I've seen this on TV before, and then they were released, and they've been there for so long, they're used to prison life more than normal life. You know, they can't do anything in prison. You know, nobody allows them to do anything. You can't just move around freely, do anything. No. And, you know, unless they are allowed, they are restricted. So even when they are out, they still think they are restricted in all these things. They're still looking for somebody to give them permission to do something that they could do because they've been in prison so long. Same thing with the children of Israel. They had been in bondage for so long, they didn't even know how to be free anymore. Always wanting to go back into bondage. Now, when they were in bondage, they were in serious bondage. The devil, through their enemies, afflicted them. Put a lot of burden on them, bullied them, afflicted them, you know, beat them up, raped their wives in front of them. They couldn't do anything about it because they were slaves. And they got out of there. They still didn't know that, you know, that they were now free. And they didn't know how to fight back because as a slave, they couldn't fight back. So Moses started to teach them. Well, the next time somebody slaps you, you slap them back. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Those things were not perfect. They were far from perfect. In fact, Jesus debunked all that stuff. But Moses had to teach these people, you know, how to do that. Because, you know, they used to beat them up so long, they didn't know even how to fight for themselves. So now he said, look, next time somebody beats you, you fight back. That's what a tooth for a tooth means, an eye for an eye means, among other things. So, but they have been bound so long, you know how to be free. Some people are bound by fear when there is nothing to be afraid of, actually. You know, it's nothing to be afraid of, but yet people are afraid of these things. You know, the Bible says the righteous is bold. Salam. But the wicked will run when nobody is even chasing him. Yeah, they're afraid when there's, you know, there is no reason to be afraid. But people are afraid because, you know, they don't know their identity. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 1 will tell you, the righteous are bold as a lion. They know their identity and they know what they have. They understand what they have. Part of the knowledge of what we have is the knowledge that Jesus had destroyed the devil. It says right here, Hebrews 2 and 15. If you have that knowledge, you will not be afraid of any tokens. And there are many tokens. Let me go a little deeper and talk about, you know, some of those, you know, some of those things. You know, praise the Lord. The things, you know, contracts that are taken out even in spiritual realm. I'm going to tell you something too. You know, covenant with death, agreement with hell. Well, all these things, the people wicked, the wickedness, spiritual wickedness in high places, they try to formulate these things and try to bring people into fear. In the book of Isaiah 28, you know, there is a popular scripture there that tells us about agreements with hell, covenant with death, and so on. Let's read it. Isaiah 28, I will pick it up from verse 15. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, and we had agreement, and so on and so forth. He said, well, all these things, refuge, you have made lies our refuge. And under falsehood have we hid ourselves. So this agreement with death, this covenant with hell, they are falsehood, they are lies, they are tokens of lies. You know, it will not stand. The Lord said, well, because of that, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. A tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And he that believeth on him shall not be afraid. I'm not going to run helter-skelter. You know, and I will also lay the judgment and so forth. And I will, the Lord said he will fight for his people. Your covenant with death shall be dishonored. And your agreement with hell shall not stand. Praise the Lord. It's not going to stand. You know. And I was looking one day in a parable that the Lord was showing me. And I looked, see, and there was this figure that was taken out of a contract. I understood that it was the devil, actually. Taken out a contract, you know. And, you know, in the dark regions, spellbinders, sorcery, and so forth, they do that thing. They go and put your name somewhere. Like a contract that's taken out on you, you know. And, well, it's not going to work against you because you are covered by the blood. God will frustrate those things. But, so I was looking, and he was taking out a contract, and he had names that he was writing. And I was looking. And as he wrote the names, it was a contract of death, actually. And he wrote the names. I was looking to see what names he was writing. And then it was a contract of death. Say contract of death. I wrote the names. I was writing the name. I was looking to see what name he was writing. But I didn't see anything. Like, what is he doing? You know, I knew he's writing. He's writing furiously. But the thing is blank as I'm looking at it. And then I heard a voice that said, void, we are prohibited by law. I said, wow, God's law. And then I remember that there is such a thing, actually. You know, so this thing he was trying to take out, to take a contract out on your life. But the Lord said, it's void because it's prohibited by God's law. I am the Lord that frustrate the tokens of the liars. You know, now that taking out a contract on your life is a bit dramatic, but it's same thing as everything that the devil does. May not be take you out completely. Devil wants to take you out. Jesus said that in John chapter 10, verse 10. Say the devil comes to take you out. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he comes to do. Take you out. If it is not taking you out, it's going to frustrate you, kill your dreams, steal your joy, do something, you know. But what's your defense? You know, what's your defense? Well, the Bible tells us about somebody who has defense like munitions of rock. Ammunition of rock is like they are fortified. There's a fortress around them. That fortress comes from this lesson that we are talking about today. And the lesson is God is the one that frustrating the tokens of liars. Who among us shall dwell with devouring fire? Fire that can devour any plans of the enemy. Well, you can find that in Isaiah chapter 33. Who shall dwell among the divine fire? Among us, who shall dwell with everlasting bodies? Well, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppression, shaketh his hands from taking of bribes, stoppeth the ears from hearing of blood, shut his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. And bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. You can read all of that in Isaiah 33 verses 13 through about 16. You know, this man's heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. He shall not be afraid of anything. You know, not afraid of anything. God the Lord has frustrated the tokens of liars on his behalf. To God be the glory. Now, so all the tokens that they are trying to take out, and everything that the enemy is trying to do against you, well, they will surely do it, but it will not prosper. It's not that they won't do it. Isaiah has a lot of things to say about such things. Here's another one in Isaiah 54. He said, this is God's assurance that God gives us how he frustrates the tokens of lies and all the things that the devil will try to do against you. Behold, he said in Isaiah 54 and verse 15, they shall surely gather together. Now, not that they may, not that, you know, perhaps they will. No, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. They will gather against you, he said, but whosoever shall gather together against you shall fall for thy sake. You don't even need to worry about it. They will fall for your sake. Praise the Lord. Because the Lord is the one that's frustrating those tokens. The things they are putting together for your harm, those are the tokens. The lying spirit, the peeping, the muttering spirit, you know, those are the tokens, you know, and different things they can't put together. But these things will not work against the children of the Lord. It will not work. The Lord will cut off all those lying tongues. Psalm 12 and verse 3 say the Lord shall cut off all those lying lips. Cut them off. And all those that speak lies, tokens of lies, Psalm 5 and verse 6 will be destroyed. That's right. You know, God will destroy them too. And they will not have power over you. Numbers 23 and 23 says, there is no divination and there is no enchantment that will work against you. It won't work. It's not that they won't try it. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Doesn't mean the gates of hell shall not try. Of course it will try. But it will not prevail. That's the thing. You know, you can try all they want, gather together all they want, but they will fall for your sake. All those that speak lies, God will cut them off. God be the glory. You know, God is the one that frustrates the tokens of the liars. Now, in the book of Psalm 33 and verse 10, he says, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the hidden, or the counsel of the liars, and gather together against you. Bring them to naught. It will just frustrate. They can get together, counsel, you know. They can take counsel together. It doesn't matter whether they take counsel together or not. You know, he said, why do the hidden rage and take counsel against the anointing of the Lord? They shall be frustrated. You know, that's right. And whether you gather together or not, it's not going to work. Isaiah chapter 8. Now, like I said, Isaiah has a lot to say about these things. You know, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 9 says, associate yourselves. You can bunch up and gather up together, but you will be broken to pieces. Glory to God. Associate yourselves, he said, to the workers of evil, and ye shall be broken to pieces. That's right. You will be broken to pieces. Do not walk. Job chapter 5, verse 12 says, the Lord disappointed the devices of the crafty. These are their tokens, so that their hands cannot perform any of their enterprise. It's null and void, because it's prohibited by God's law. Those tokens might work against someone else. that contract might work in another state that does not have those statutes that says these things are prohibited. But in a place where those things are prohibited, you can take out the contract all you want. It's void. So, for us who are in the kingdom under the blood of the Christ, having his banner over us, all those contracts and all those things, they are disannulled. It doesn't even matter. So if people should not spend their time worrying. There are some people who are always saying, somebody's chasing me, somebody doing this to me, somebody doing that to you. Well, why are they able to do those things to you? Probably because you yourself, your leg is not anchored properly. The Bible says there shall nothing be able to, derail you from the love of Christ, be able to destabilize you. Nothing shall be able to separate you when you are anchored on the love of Christ. That's what Romans chapter 8 says. There shall nothing, whether it's divinations, whether it's enchantments, whether it's tokens of liars, whether it's devices of the wicked, whether it's their muttering and peeping. He said, none of these things separate us, because the Lord is the one that is frustrating them. Frustrating them on your behalf. Every lying tongue that's raised up against you is condemned. This is the heritage of servants of the Lord. Let's read that again in Isaiah chapter 54. It's got a lot of things to say about this. They shall surely gather together. I didn't finish reading it to the end. Shall gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against you shall fall for your sake. Behold, I have created a smith that bloweth in the coals in the fire. All these things that, people go to witch doctor or whatever. Lord say, I created them all. Doesn't matter. I created them all, and I can frustrate their plans too. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Why? Because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. The righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So God, this is what God already said. Every false witness against you will be exposed. Every deceitful plan will be frustrated. Every demonic, thing against you, peeping spirits, lying spirits, enchantment, divinations, they'll be overturned and frustrated. Every lying spirit will be silenced. Truth must prevail. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. And sometimes these lying spirits will come and show you a dream. Lying spirits can show people dreams. And when they grip your heart with fear, then, they've got you where they want you. Anytime you see anything, Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20 says, to the law and to the testimony. If the thing speaks not according to this word, what is the word? Well, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's right. So if any dream or vision or prophecy does not speak according to that, you can reject it and send it back to hell. Glory to God. Don't even give it the light of day. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. That's what you must say. Don't even dignify the thing. You know, people dignify some of this stuff, and then it create fear in their hearts, and so on and so forth. No. You know, the word of God to you is that surely blessing, I will bless you, and I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. That's already there. Yeah, I don't need to pray that God will curse anybody. I pray that God will have mercy on them. But God already said it. Go to fight. God will have the apple of his eye. So if any dream, any vision, any prophetic declaration or any such thing is not according to 29:11 of Jeremiah, I just reject it. I reject it. I've done that all my life. God be the glory. And we're still here. There's been a lot of divinations, a lot of dreams, a lot of conjecture, and a lot of conjuring things. Didn't work. Never worked, and never will work. You know, lying spirits come up against you, they will be silenced. Say, every tongue shall rise up against you. Condemn already. Every deceitful strategy, every wicked strategy, every plan of the devil to overturn the purpose of God in your life will be frustrated. Glory to God. And you know, the devil himself, he tries to frustrate the plans of God for your life. But he in turn will be the one that is frustrated, because you cannot frustrate the plans of God in the life of his chosen. My counsel shall stand, saith the Lord. And I will do, you know, all of my pleasure. God has said it, and he will do it. Powerful promises. Isaiah 46, like I said, Isaiah has a lot to say about these things. That's why I always go to Isaiah, read these promises whenever there's any challenge. You know, dozens and dozens of prophetic promises like this that are encouraging. In Isaiah, you know, chapter 46 and verse 10, he says, I am the Lord, you know, I declare the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. And I will do all my pleasure. What is God's counsel concerning you? Well, if you don't know, you need to discover it. But there are many things. Jesus said, you know, to us, you know, in his words to his disciples, there are many times he encouraged them and said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Tell them stuff like that. Fear not, he said, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Well, what is the kingdom if it is Father's good pleasure? Remember, I said, I will do all my pleasure. My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Well, what is his pleasure? If it is the pleasure of the Father to give you the kingdom, well, let's see. What is the kingdom then? You know, in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus says, makes this declaration. Fear not, little flock. And because people are always afraid of what somebody is going to do to them. There are some people that live all their lives like that. Somebody is doing this, somebody is doing that. You know, it is your Father's good pleasure. And you take this verse, you plug it into Isaiah 46 verse 10 that we just read. And, you know, then you see an explosion that comes out of this. What is his good pleasure? Well, he said, my counsel shall stand. my counsel shall stand. Well, who is strong enough to disannul the counsel of the Lord? I'm going to read you some scriptures about that as well. The counsel of the Lord for your life is that thoughts of wickedness against you must be frustrated. You know, that's the counsel of the Lord. He said, I will do all my pleasure. And Jesus describes the pleasure of the Father for us. He said, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What is the kingdom? And how might he give it to us? Well, Jesus said again, you know, in one of his parables in Matthew 25 and 34, that this kingdom was already prepared for you before even the world began. The kingdom was prepared for me before the world began? Why, absolutely. Then how do we get it then? Well, how you get it is an understanding. Knowledge is the key. You know, here is the knowledge of the understanding that we need to have. Luke chapter 22 and verse 29. He said, you know, that I appoint unto you. I appoint unto you because you've tarried with me through my trial. Say, ye are they which have continued with me, you know, in my trials. Therefore, I appoint unto you, you know, remember Paul said, the fellowship of his sufferings. We talked about that. Philippians 1:29. It is appointed unto you on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his name's sake as part of the journey. And Jesus said, because you have continued with me, Luke 22:28, have continued with me through my trials, you are in the fellowship of my sufferings. Therefore, I also appoint unto you a kingdom. Ha! Glory to God. Even as my Father has appointed unto me, that you may eat, drink, table of my kingdom, sit on thrones, and so forth. I appoint these things unto you. The Lord appoints unto you victory. He appointed unto us even power. Luke 10 and 19. I give unto you power of attorney, that you can execute things in my name. I told them also, in Mark 16, in my name, do these things. You know, in Matthew 28, he said the same thing. All power in heaven and on earth is given to me. Therefore, in my name, do these things. I mean, so he has given us confidence. You know, we have confidence that you should not never worry about demonic predictions, demonic dreams, strategy of the devil, false witness, lying tongues, and so forth. No. They all will be frustrated. God will disappoint, you know, their devices. They will not be able to carry out their plans, according to Job 5 and 12. This is how God frustrates the plans of the enemy. Can frustrate. There was a story in the life of David and Ahithophel. This Ahithophel was a man whose counsel was like the counsel of an angel of God. Everything he said, and he instructed those people. There was a time that he was, you know, on David's side, and thereafter, you know, changed sides, and God frustrated his tokens. Frustrated his counsel. Every counsel he gave was frustrated. God put somebody in there to give an opposite counsel and caused the people to doubt him. At the end, he went and fell headlong, committed suicide. Because he said, like, people are not listening to me anymore. Well, that's how God, we're told, God frustrated, defeated, overturned the counsel of Ahithophel. That would have been like the counsel of an angel of God. You know, I mean, everything he did or said before was good until he come up against David. You know, when you come up against David now, God's going to frustrate that stuff. And, you know, God had a plan. The rebellion of David's son, Absalom, and all of that, you know, Ahithophel was a trusted advisor for David initially. You might call him a chief counselor, you know. But he later betrayed David and joined in with Absalom, who was trying to overthrow his dad, you know. And God had a way to frustrate, you know, frustrate those tokens. And Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom, David said in 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 31. And he prayed a powerful prayer. And God did exactly what he prayed. You know, God turned the counsel of that man. You know, they told him, well, one of them came and told David, said, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. David said, wow, Ahithophel is among conspirators against me? He said, yeah. And he couldn't believe it, so he prayed. He said, oh Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. That's right, you know. And the Lord did exactly that. Don't have time to tell you all the whole story. But the Lord did exactly that, you know. So David had a strategy, you know, someone that will go there and, you know, be with Absalom as though he would support Absalom. And, you know, somehow God will use him to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. And the Lord did exactly that. You know, counsels that are formed in the dark against you that are in the light cannot work. The light shineth and darkness cannot comprehend it. Darkness can't overcome that. The light can't do it. We are children of the day. You know, Bible said in you know, Genesis 1:14, God created two great lights, one to rule the day, one to rule the night. Well, we are not ruled by darkness of the moon. No. As a matter of fact, if you look at Revelation 12, you will see that the moon was under the feet of that sun-clothed woman. You know, so she's close with the sun and the moon is under her feet. The Lord said, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. When your foot is over something, that means you are conquering the thing or have conquered it. You know, Revelation 10:1, a mighty warrior appeared, right foot upon the sea, left foot upon the earth, raised up his hand and swore time no longer, because he had conquered it, conquered the sea, conquered the earth, conquered everything. When you put your foot upon the thing and it's your footstool, you conquered it. You know, the church is marching on. And through the name of the Lord, they have the victory. We have the victory over plans of the enemy. God will frustrate the plans. There are some plans of the enemy against September to remember. But God will frustrate everything. I'm not even worried. God will frustrate everything concerning every peeping spirit, muttering spirit, enchantment, or divination, frustrated because God called for it. I mean, who is strong enough, you know, to disannul the counsel of the Lord? You know, my counsel shall stand, and who shall disannul it? You know, can the Lord, after he has spoken, you know, can someone come and overturn what the Lord has spoken in the scriptures? Let's read Isaiah 14 again. Another verse that Isaiah has something to say about this stuff. For the Lord of hosts has purposed in his heart, and who shall disannul it? His hand is stretched out to protect you and to fight for you. And who shall turn it back? In another place, in Isaiah 62 and verse 8, many, many, many promises in Isaiah like this. He says, I, the Lord, am swearing by the right hand, of the strength of my right hand, and I will no longer give your corn to be meat for your enemies. You know, when you see God flex his arms, well, he's doing exactly that in Isaiah 62 and verse 8. You know, if you look, you will see that vision of God flexing his arms on your behalf. That's exactly what he's doing. You know, he said, the Lord has sworn by his right hand, the arm of his strength. You know, I've seen people who arm wrestle. I've done a few things of it in my younger days as well. You sit across the table, got your right hand over the table, your right arm, and the other guy's in front of you, and you're trying to arm wrestle. You got to push their arm down, or they got to push your arm down, you know. And it's a strategy to it, too, of how you do it. Not only strength alone, it's a strategy. But anyway, you know, the Lord says, I'm sitting across the table right here by the strength of my arm. The devil is sitting on the other side. Do you think? Who do you think in that arm wrestle contest? The devil and the Lord. Who's going to win? Can the devil arm wrestle the Lord down? I guess not. I think not. And I know not. He can't do it. The Lord said, I have sworn. I often say that God doesn't even swear anything. When he says it's good enough, it's done already. But when he says he swears, that's just to make assurance doubly sure for you and for me. You know, so I've sworn by the arm, my right hand, the right hand of power. Right hand symbolizes power. And my right hand and the arm of my strength. It flexes muscle on your behalf. There's nobody that can take him down. Who can disannul it? You know? And all the plans of the enemy against you, they will not work because God will frustrate them. Say, the Lord has purposed this thing. Who shall disannul it? His hand is stretched out across the table. Who can wrestle it down? You can't do it. You know, in that day, said the Lord, I will break the Assyrian in my mountain. Glory to God. You know, there is, the Assyrian is like the devil, you know, torment the people, put you in bondage of fear and so forth. Well, you know, and there is a day that is coming, a day that God has appointed. You know, it's called September to remember. Yeah, God has appointed it. I'm declaring these things as we are nearing the start of this event. I continue to declare it for you. Let's read another powerful verse in this same Isaiah 14 that we were just reading. We were just reading verse 27. If you look a couple of verses earlier, you will see what he said, you know, I believe in verse 25 or so, you'll see what he said. Thus saith the Lord. Let me just read it from verse 24. Complete context. Thus said the Lord of hosts. Say, the Lord of hosts has sworn. Like I said, doesn't need to swear. But if he swears, that's double assurance for you. Surely as I thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. That I will break the Assyrian, my land, upon my mountains, will tread him underfoot, and had his yoke depart from off of them. And his burden shall be taken off of their shoulders. Well, there are many burdens that God's going to take off the shoulders of the people at September to remember. That's thus said the word of the living God. Amen. And God's going to break the powers of those four horns that have tormented the people. Every oppressing spirit, every burden, every band of wickedness, all the evil yokes. He said, at that time, I will undo all that afflict you. Cause his burden to depart from off their shoulder. This is the purpose that is purposed for you and for September to remember by the grace of God. And the Lord says, I have purposed it. Who shall disannul it? To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let us walk in confidence. Always walk in confidence, not only when you are coming into the conference, but come with confidence to the conference and you live with joy. Hallelujah. Guaranteed by the grace of the Lord. but also in our daily lives. Let's walk with confidence. You know, have your head up. Child of the King, devil can't keep your head down. No. Lift up your head and let the King of Glory come on in. You got to lift up your head, though. You know, I love little kids. They teach us a lot of lessons. When the little kid comes to the parent, the aunt, the uncle, or some trusted person, and they want to be carried, they lift up their hands. They're looking up and lifting up their hands. And that tells you they want to be carried. You know, that's how a little child does it. We need to learn from that. You come to the Lord, lift up your head, lift up your hands, say, carry me, Lord, and he will carry you. He'll carry you when he's got you on his shoulders. That's where your trusted place will be. Every plan, every imagination, everything that exalts itself or tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God in your life, cast it down. Glory to God. You know, God already told you that you can do it. You can cast down imaginations. And I'm going to do that with you together in a few minutes when we pray. We're going to cast down every imagination, every token of lies, every contract with death, the agreement with hell, you know, every enchantment and every divination. We're going to cast them down. And sometimes there are little enchantments, the little divinations, sometimes there are greater ones. But small or great, the Word of God handles them all. That's right. The Lord told Balaam, he found out, you know, because of his greed. He knew better, you know, but because of his greed, you know, Balak the king kept promising him one more stuff. And he said, well, let me consider this thing. You already knew. The Lord already told you, you can't do it. And he said, went back to the Lord and said, well, shall I do it? And the Lord is like, I already told you, you can't do this thing. Kept asking. I said, okay, fine. Go do it. But as he went, the angel of the Lord was there to kill him. Because you cannot put a curse on the people of God. Angel of God would have killed him if not for the donkey that escaped out of the way. Now the blind, the mad prophet now became blinded by his greed. He was a seer. He was the one that should have seen that angel standing there with the sword ready to take off his head. But he didn't see anything. It was the donkey that saw. The donkey moved away. You know, 3 times he moved away and he beat the donkey. Get going here where you turn aside. And God turned, opened the mouth of the donkey. You ever seen a donkey that spoke? Yeah, this mad prophet, a donkey had to speak to him. Have I not been your donkey all these years? Have you not ridden me everywhere? And have I not done everything that you wanted? Why are you beating me now? Yeah? Is there no reason? Isn't it because of what I've seen? I'm trying to save your life. And then finally the Lord opened the eyes of the prophet. The seer. Can you imagine seer can no longer see because of their greed? And the angel told him, had it not been for your donkey, I would have taken your head off right now. And I told him, now you go, and you speak the words that I put in your mouth. And the words that he finally spoke are, there is no divination. That's right. And there is no enchantment against the people of God. You can't do it. God has blessed them. You can't put a curse on them. He found that out, and he finally spoke it. Surely, there is no enchantment against Jacob. Neither is there any divination against Israel. To God be the glory. At that time, it shall be said, we can put it this way, be no enchantment against walking with God and all the people that come into this conference. No enchantment, no divination is going to work. If they were walking before, at that time will I undo it, saith the Lord. That's right. And according to that time, it shall be said of walking with God and of the people, what God hath wrought. That's what will be said. Praise the Lord. That's the only testimony. We're not going to hear any negative testimony. I reject that in the name of Jesus. Every imagination, every thought, every spirit of lies and tokens, and even fear and unbelief and all these things, reject them in Jesus' name. We're gathering unto the Lord, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And the Lord will do that, which he said, I will take pleasure in it, saith the Lord. I will be glorified. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord. Well, peace, the kind of peace that he will give in during that conference is not the peace where you didn't have any trouble. It is peace that he will take the trouble out so you can have peace. He will undo the things that are afflicting you, you know, that didn't cause you to have peace before. He'll undo it so that you now have peace. God be the glory. God be the glory. Now, let me summarize the things that we've talked about here. God is the one that frustrates the tokens of lies that make a diviner mad. You know, turn their even wise men backwards, make their knowledge to be foolish, can do all these things. But yet he gives knowledge to the babes, the people that are looking unto him and trusting in him and relying upon his guidance. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. When you are leaning on the Lord, he'll give you understanding. But those that think they know and try to conjure something against the children of God, God will frustrate them, make them foolish, make their plans to be mad and black. A blackness of darkness cover them, can't even see anymore. God be the glory. It's not something we need to pray necessarily that way, but God has already done it. But we need to cast down imaginations. Oh, those imaginations are in your mind too. They will put those imaginations on your heart. Give you a dream, give you a suggestion, give something contrary. But if they speak not according to this word, that my thoughts and plans for you are for peace and for good, not for evil. If they don't speak according to that, it is because there is no light in the thing. So get away from it. Put it under your feet. Because the moon that rules darkness is under the feet of the sun-clothed woman. Put the moon under your feet. God be the glory. Well, furthermore, apart from frustrating tokens of liars, apart from making their covenant void, it's void. The law of God prohibits it. You know, the Lord said you are free. The devil cannot put you into bondage. Jesus said yes, devil can't say no. Everything that God has said, say whatsoever the Lord doeth shall be forever. You can't add anything to it. You can't take away from it. The Lord has already done it, and it is settled in heaven. To God be the glory. Ecclesiastes 3 and 14. I know, he said, that whatsoever God doeth shall be forever. That's right. You can't change it. You can't undo it. It's done. Nothing can be put to it. You can't add to it. You can't subtract from it. The Lord already does it. And finished it so that our hearts would be toward him only. God be the glory. God be the glory. Now, I say another thing that Isaiah says. I'm going to repeat it so the devils can hear it. In Isaiah 44. Now we've leveled the imaginations of the devil. We've made their contract and their speeches void and so forth. Well, the Lord has frustrated all of that. But let's see the other side of what he will do. That confirmed the word of his servant and performed the counsel of his messengers. Well, God be the glory. I believe with all my heart that the Lord will, just like he said, confirm the word that is put in our mouth to speak. I believe it with all my heart. He will confirm it. And he will perform it. And God will get the glory. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord said it too. We know that. Whatever you bind on earth, be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose, be loose in heaven. When we come together in unity like that, we've spoken that several times. Heaven sanctions what we say because heaven said it first. We were only repeating it. Psalm 68 and verse 11. The Lord first gave the word. Then we are publishing that same thing that he already said. What did he say? Well, gather the people, sanctify the people. You know, sanctify fast, gather the people, get them together for the solemn assembly. And I will come in their midst. God is coming down in his glory to visit his people. And before that, he's already dismantling all the things that the devil has put up against you. Praise God. And in the conference, we will learn how to walk in victory. All the time, not some of the time. Not that your life will be free of challenges, but it won't matter because you are more than conquerors. You're always winning. You win every time. You climb every mountain. You bulldoze anything that come against you. You run through troops. You leap over walls. You bend a bow of steel. In the name of the Lord, they compass you about with bees, like bees, but you destroy them all. That's right. That's a posture that was in David's heart. Look, I don't care. They come against me any which way. I'm going to destroy them all. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're not talking about people, folks. Our weapons are not carnal. We're not fighting flesh and blood. We're talking about spiritual forces, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're talking about. We're going to put them in their place. And we're going to show that the Lord is good. God be the glory. I will frustrate, saith the Lord, all the tokens of the liars. I will make diviners mad. I will turn the wisdom of the wise men backward. I will make their knowledge to be foolish and darkened. God be the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, we thank you for this word. Because you've spoken it already. We're just repeating what you already said. And I pray that confidence will rise in the hearts of your people. That you said, I appoint unto you a kingdom, even as my Father appointed to me. Furthermore, you said, it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And the Lord himself said, I will do all my pleasure. Thank you, Jesus. And in that kingdom, the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. God be the glory. Enough of that. Enough of the devil putting sickness and bondage and different things over us. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise. Loose thyself from the bands around thy neck, that captive daughter of Zion. According to the words of Isaiah 52 and verse 2, we will do exactly that. We will shake ourselves, we will arise, we will sit down, we will dust off dust. We will loose the bands from our neck. Devil cannot put the bands. The Lord said in Leviticus 26 and 13, I have delivered you from that bondage that the devil put upon you. I have lifted all those burdens from your back so that you will go upright and not be bondsmen. You will not be bent over anymore by all this bondage that they will put over your backs. I will lose those things and I will do those things in the name of Jesus. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Thank you, Father, because you watch over your word to perform it. It is well with your children. I declare that it is well with all of your children. I declare that every lying divination, every false dream or whatever is, you know, disannulled. I defy thy lying, declare the lying spirits are silenced. Every plow of the enemy is frustrated concerning the lives of your children. Jesus said, I come that you might have life, that more abundantly. God be the glory. We will have that abundant life in Jesus' name. We declare that our lives are flourishing. They that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Psalm 92, verse 13. We shall be flourishing, fat and flourishing. Bringing forth fruit even in old age. Caleb said, I'm not old yet. I can still go for war like I did 45 years ago. To God be the glory. The Lord will show grace unto us. Forsake me not, Lord, O Lord. Till I've shown thy glory to this generation, I pow everyone that is to come. The Lord will do it too. every one of us that are trusting and believing him will experience this good hand of the Lord upon us, and his name will be glorified. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for delivering your people, you know, from the fear of even death, delivering us from, you know, plans of the enemy, bringing us into a place of stability, a place of strength, a place where our munitions of rocks are surrounding us. God be the glory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.